Thank you, Bob. Good morning. Can everybody hear me? You in the back, can you hear me? Good? Okay, good. So you can all hear me, that's good. Perhaps that's the wrong question, though. Perhaps the better question is, are you listening? That's kind of the real question, isn't it? Right? Ultimately, I'm not asking you a question about the physical capability of hearing or about the sound in the speakers. It's about whether you can hear. Because I'm assuming the room is not full of people who are deaf or hard of hearing. My question is one of attention and retention. Are you listening? Every parent knows this dilemma, don't we? How many times have you said to your kid in frustration, "Are you listening to me?" Or every marriage has had that moment, right? Where she's talking and she's talking and she's talking. There are so many words. And you're trying to focus in, but slowly your attention is being drawn back to the ball game. And then all of a sudden she says, "Are you listening to me?" And you turn around and you realize you haven't processed a word she has said. I confess that I have challenges here. Last time I was up, I told you about my fruit thing. Now I'm telling you about my selective hearing. Am I an overshare? I have challenges here. I am someone who is highly visual. I have the amazing, according to me, ability, frustrating, according to my wife, ability. Let's go with amazing, shall we? The amazing ability to focus in on what I am looking at and not hear a word that is going on around me. I can sit in the middle of audio chaos and tune it all out. It makes me a wonderful worker and a miserable husband. I can get so much done at the expense of shepherding my wife at times. And my lovely, faithful bride, she is so sweet. She has learned to be so patient with me. And when I'm in the zone, when I'm focused in, and she'll come up and she'll gently touch me on the shoulder, or she'll wave her hand in front of my face to get my attention, because she knows I am not listening. My ears are fine. I've had them checked. They work perfectly for a man of my age. I am physically capable of hearing. But it turns out there's a difference between hearing and listening. There is a difference. Every parent, child, husband, and wife knows this experientially. The passive act of hearing is not the same as attentive listening. Perhaps this verse came to mind as I'm even speaking this. James 1:22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The implication here is that you hear and do, that you actually listen to what the word says and you do it, as opposed to simply hearing it and deceiving yourselves that the hearing is adequate without the doing. Deceiving yourself that the hearing is effective in any way without the full attention and active retention of the word. This is what Jesus has just challenged those who came to hear him in Luke 6:46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? They hear, but they don't follow. They hear and even speak back to him saying, "Lord, Lord," but they're deceiving themselves because they do not do what he says. They may not be physically deaf or hard of hearing, but they are spiritually deaf and hard of heart. The words are going in their ears, but they're not penetrating their heart, and they're never reaching their hands. And Jesus is going to tell a story today, a parable, that he will then explain how true disciples of Jesus are those that listen, who follow him, and patiently bear fruit. It's pretty familiar. It's a parable of the sower. It shows us four types of responses when hearing the gospel. There's the hard path, being dismissive of the word. There's the rocky ground, demonstrating this shallow ascent at best. There's thorny ground, the choking effect of worldly distraction. And finally, there's good dirt, where genuine believers bear fruit. To see this, turn your Bibles, if you would, to chapter 8 of Luke, beginning in verse 1. In Brett's sermon last week, he walked us through the scene at the end of chapter 7 of the house of Simon the Pharisee, where Jesus was there. And we saw what it looked like practically for a seed to fall on the hard path. Brett warned us to avoid the hardened Pharisaical heart. Simon's heart was self-sufficient and ungracious. He was too full of himself to have room for Jesus. But the woman, a sinner, with tears of repentance, held fast to the forgiveness that Jesus offered to her faithful heart and gave of her wealth to worship her Savior. Which one of them listened to Jesus? From a bystander's point of view, nobody in that room would have looked at the Pharisee and said, hard pass, and looked at the prostitute and said, good soil. Nobody. Until Jesus spoke. Because the call of Jesus is to the poor, the brokenhearted, the hungry, those who weep over their sin. He implores, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And today's passage explores the difference between listeners who follow Jesus and hold fast to the gospel, contrasted with those who are hearers only, who do not receive the gospel, do not root themselves in it, do not submit themselves to Christ, and therefore have no fruit. We're going to draw a distinction today between listening and hearing. A distinction that has eternal implications, because it is not the physical hearing that saves, but the spiritual responding, the spiritual listening. Are we listening? Yeah? Let's go. All right. Chapter 8. Chapter 8 begins with a prologue, a description of those who have listened and are following. And we see our first point today. Listeners follow Jesus as disciples and prioritize ministry. Listeners follow Jesus as disciples and prioritize ministry. Disciples and followers of Jesus submit and commit, I like to say. They are those who have submitted to his authority and committed themselves to following Jesus, proclaiming the kingdom of God and worshiping Jesus with their time, with their effort, and with their money. Let's look at the text. Verse 1, chapter 8. Soon afterward, he, this is Jesus, went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. After dinner at Simon's house, where Jesus, in his great compassion, pointed out Simon's hypocrisy to him, and in his great mercy, forgave the woman's sins, Jesus continues on his mission of proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. This was, in fact, his purpose, as we were told back in Luke 4:43. And here we see that he is first proclaiming. He's proclaiming. The Greek word is keruso. It means to herald, like a royal official who makes an announcement or proclamation, calling people to hear an important message. This word is used with the suggestion of gravity and authority, which must be listened to and obeyed, and is specifically used here to refer to the gospel. Your translation may have preached rather than proclaiming. This is the declaring of divine truth. So he's proclaiming, and he's doing what? He's bringing the good news. The word here is familiar, euangelizo, to evangelize. We're familiar with that. It means to announce the good news, specifically the gospel. So under royalty authority of the king, Jesus is proclaiming the good news of his kingdom, of the kingdom of God. And what does that mean? The kingdom of God has arrived in the person and the redemptive work of Jesus. An entry into that kingdom through faith in Jesus, transfers our citizenship, and we hear and believe and become citizens of that kingdom. When we hear and believe that from the beginning, God has ordained salvation for mankind through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. As Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This is what we celebrate today. This is what we celebrate every Sunday collectively as believers. And this is what we're going to celebrate together joyfully at Easter, right? As the body of believers, the good news of the kingdom of God, Christ's death for our sins, his atonement, the covering of all our shame, his payment of our sin debt, his wiping away of our sorrows. the good news that we enter the kingdom of God when we believe in Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection, that He rose again, that He's alive and is seated at the right hand of God, listening to this truth. The good news that He was buried in a borrowed tomb, that He could not hold Him as our sins were blotted out, death was defeated on our behalf. The good news that the old is wiped away. Jesus is making us a new creation through faith. The new is given in mercy, forgiveness, and love so that we might walk in the good things that God has prepared beforehand for us so we might give Him glory and honor and praise. Hallelujah. Amen. That is the good news. That is the good news of the kingdom of God. And Jesus is proclaiming that and bringing the good news all around Him. And people are hearing that good word. And they're taking root in their souls. And they're digging deep and establishing a firm foundation in the preaching and teaching of Jesus. And lives are being changed as they submit and commit to following Him. Luke lists some of the lives that have been changed. You can see it there. Verse 1 again. Soon afterward, He went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with Him. The 12. Those who have heard Jesus call them out of their former lives and into lives of following Him, His disciples, His closest friends. Peter, Andrew, James, John, called by Jesus to drop their nets and become fishers of men. Philip, given the simple yet compelling command, follow me. Or, likewise, Matthew, Levi, in Luke 5:27, Matthew left everything, and he rose and followed Jesus. These six and the other six, all responding to what Jesus said, they didn't just hear, but they listened and followed. And then I love what we see here. Because we tend to think of the 12 as His disciples, and they were, but there were many more disciples, other followers. Verse 2, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. Look at that list of sisters in Christ. What do we see? We see the outcast, we see the prestigious, and we see the common. Mary Magdalene, called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. Probably an outcast before Jesus healed her, she will faithfully follow Him and eventually gaze at Him on the cross. It is her, she's the one that is given the privilege of telling the disciples about the risen Christ. And then you have Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's household manager. She's well-placed, prestigious, powerful. She's in the household of King Herod. And she leaves all that. And she follows Jesus. She too will be one of the women that is at the empty tomb. And then you have Susanna. Nothing known about her. She's anonymous, common. No fancy testimony of demon possession. No high visibility role. Not a power player. Just a faithful follower of Jesus. Like you and me. And many others, Luke notes, many other women who provided for them out of their means. These are dedicated disciples of Jesus. They have listened to His words. They are dedicating their lives to follow Him and support and prioritize His ministry. These are women disciples following Jesus, providing for the ministry of proclaiming and bringing the gospel, bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, because that's what listeners do. Listeners follow Jesus as disciples and prioritize ministry. And let me pause for a second. Since you said you're listening, let me ask, do you see yourself here? Are you focused on following Jesus? Are you prioritizing ministry? Are you providing for those who are proclaiming the kingdom of God out of your means? Some of you may recall that last year we dedicated our entire Easter offering to support one of our ministry partners in East London. They're out there evangelizing to Bangladeshi Muslims. And my friends, you faithful followers of Jesus, You gave $13,416.59. Hallelujah. This year, as a church, we will have another opportunity to do that. We're going to bless another of our ministry partners, Adrian and Batotu Mahanduzi, who are bringing the good news into the kingdom of the kingdom, into the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is currently torn apart by war. And I ask you to begin now prayerfully considering how you will provide for the proclaiming and bringing of the good news there. How will you prioritize that? Because listeners follow Jesus as his disciples and prioritize ministry. Moving forward to verse 4, we're going to see that Jesus calls out the difference between those who listen and follow and prioritize ministry, and in so doing, see the fruit of that commitment, or as we see next week, let their light shine, contrasted with those who hear the word and bear absolutely no fruit. Verse 4, and when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, who are these people? It says great crowds gathered to hear Jesus, people from town after town. What do you think motivated them to come and hear Jesus? I'm sure a variety of motivations, but maybe it's not so different from what we see today. Some people come to church, sadly, looking for a show. Not really open to the truth or even listening intently to the message, but happy to be entertained. Live music? Donuts and coffee that's free? Smiley people? I'm in. That's my self-absorbed voice. That seed is falling on the hard path as they quickly dismiss biblical truth as archaic, old-fashioned, irrelevant. They hear, but they do not listen. Some people come to church looking for a quick fix. A physical problem, a financial problem, a problem in marriage or other relationships, or maybe just simply looking to feel better about yourself. Looking for a solution without submission. That quick fix sermon. That message was so good today. It gave me 3 practical ways I can feel better about myself. If that's what you're coming looking for, you are on rocky ground. Then again, some people come to church looking for what I call a lazy gospel. Easy answer, salvation without surrender, just enough Jesus to feel good. I kind of like this Christian thing. Makes me feel good. I don't want to change my lifestyle, though. That's asking a lot. The world has a chokehold on you. It is choking the life out of you. And you haven't breathed free for so long, you don't even know it. But some people come to church looking for the truth. Those are seeking, asking, knocking, growing. Those who are poor in spirit, realizing they're in spiritual poverty in a desperate search for the kingdom of God, on their spiritual knees, begging for forgiveness. This is the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears, who dried his feet with her hair. Good soil. Prepared beforehand to receive the word and bear fruit. And all this begs the question, I got to ask, which one are you? What's your motivation today? Are you here to have your ears tickled? Or are you ready to receive the word with gladness, with an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience? Will you listen? It's not my question. It's Jesus' question. You're going to see that in a second. As this crowd gathers, the dismissive, the shallow, the distracted, and the humble, Jesus tells a parable which concludes with, will you listen? Our next point. Jesus is imploring us to be listeners. Jesus is imploring us to be listeners. He tells a parable. Not a term we hear every day, right? It's not like you're turning on the radio and somebody's saying, I have a great parable for you. The word parable means to place beside. It uses a story with a familiar situation to illustrate an unfamiliar truth. Warren Wiersbe describes parables as both windows and mirrors, and I like that. You either see through it to the truth, or it reflects back at you. Jesus is going to use a very familiar scene of someone cultivating a field. Verse 4. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Verse 6. And some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Some things to consider right off the top. Number one, the sower went out. He purposely pursued a kingdom crop. Number two, the sower is very generous with his seed, isn't he? He is making so sure that the good soil is covered that he's scattering it on the rocks, into the weeds, onto the path. Third, there is one sower, one seed. The difference is in the dirt. Four soils, four results. The hard path, the seed is trampled as worthless. The birds come and take it away. It never germinates, never takes any root at all. You have the rocky soil. The seed shows some appearance of life, but withers and dies as it does not have enough water to nourish the roots. The thorn-filled ground. Again, there's this appearance of life as the plant grows, intertwined with the thorns and weeds, but soon what begins to grow is now choked out. And finally, good dirt. This is the soil the sower has prepared. He's removed the rocks, cleared the weeds, and the seeds take root in this good soil and are nourished, and they grow, and they take, and they have this beautiful, plentiful yield. One sower, one seed, four results. And a story that's concluding with, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Just like the parable, this final statement is simultaneously a warning, an invitation, and a recognition of a spiritual reality. Jesus is imploring us to be listeners. This is a warning. He's warning us about the danger of passively hearing but not actively listening. He's warning us about hearing without doing, of intellectual assent without faith, about thinking that salvation can be had without surrender and submission. It's a warning. But it's also an invitation. It's a plea. Have ears to hear. Receive the word with gladness and an honest heart and bear the fruit that the sower desires. Fruitful followers bear fruit. A warning, an invitation, but it's also a spiritual reality. There are hearers and there are listeners. There are those who have been enlivened to hear and those who have not. A spiritual reality that Jesus will reference in our next point. Listening will reveal truth. Simple hearing will not. Listening will reveal truth. Simple hearing will not. Jesus tells them the parable. Then he issues that invitation warning to hear, to listen. And the disciples immediately take it very seriously. Verse 9, and when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, they need to know. He said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. Jesus gives the purpose of the parable before he gives the point of the parable. Jesus explains that the parable is doing two things. It's both revealing and concealing. It's revealing the truth to followers. And it's concealing the truth to those who are not. The parable is both illumination and judgment. Seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Jesus is referencing Isaiah 6, 9 and 10 here. Isaiah 6, 9, and he, this is the voice of the Lord speaking to Isaiah. And he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Verse 10, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. The context of Isaiah 6 here, the beginning of Isaiah 6, is the commissioning of Isaiah as a prophet to proclaim the kingdom of God to the people. It starts with this dramatic encounter of Isaiah with the holiness of God and culminates in God atoning for Isaiah's sin, cleansing him of guilt, and commissioning him to preach to a hard-hearted people that will refuse to listen. Likewise, in this parable here in Luke, for those who are resistant to hearing, a concealing of the truth is occurring. But to disciples, the parable is revealing truth. Followers like you and me have access to the truth. It's not that the parable is designed to conceal. Remember, the sower is generous with his seed. It spreads everywhere. It's not designed to conceal, but it is a fact that not all are illuminated by the Spirit to hear. Listening is not based on human cleverness. It's not how smart you are or how hard you try. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It is the power of God that enables our understanding as he reveals truth to us. But get this, if you are coming to Jesus today in search of his truth, crying out for his forgiveness, hungry for his righteousness, listen to me now. By no means will he send you away. You will get what you seek. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:21, blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. But what Jesus is also explaining is that some people do not feel the hunger. They don't recognize or feel their need. And like Simon the Pharisee, they are full of their own self-righteousness. So why would they hunger for the righteousness of Christ? The result is they do not listen. You come in here hungry this morning? Come to Jesus, hear and listen to what he says and believe. John 6:35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Whoever, that means you. Jesus desires that you come to him. He delights in those who come to him. Yet some will not. They hear and don't understand. They see and do not perceive. Unless the Father gives them to the Son, they will not hunger. Continuing in John 6:36 and 37. Again, this is Jesus speaking. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Unless the sower removes the rocks and clears the thorns, the soil will not receive the seed and yield a hundredfold. Like the disciples, we who follow, however, have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, which were hidden but now proclaimed in the person and message of Jesus Christ, the good news. So since the disciples ask, Jesus will now explain to them, and ultimately for us, the meaning in the parable and our final point of the morning. Fruit is grown by those who listen and patiently follow. Fruit is grown by those who listen and patiently follow. Melissa, this is for you. In high school, mathematics did not come easily to me. She teaches math. Henry Fairbanks. That was the name of my calculus teacher. He could hit me in the forehead three rows back with a piece of chalk. Different times, that was allowed. I was terrified of him. He actually kept little nubby pieces of chalk in the rail of the chalkboard for that purpose. I took that class very seriously. I conquered calculus through toil, sweat, and fear. I did every problem in the book. This is true. Every problem in the book, assigned and unassigned. And I would go back to the back of the book and look at the answers. And I would check the answers where the answers were given. And I would see the solutions and I would grasp the understanding because the solutions I was given allowed me to understand and conquer calculus. And it saved my grade. So I love, love, love that Jesus has given the answers here. I love that he explains this parable. Verse 11. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, and the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and a time of testing fall away. Verse 14, as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. And finally, my favorite, we get to the good dirt. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. First thing Jesus explains here, the seed represents the word of God. One seed, one word, one truth. This is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming. And as he proclaims it to the crowds, to the people gathered, to us, it is received in different ways. Everyone hears, but not everyone listens. Everyone hears, but not everyone holds fast to the word. Let's pause for a second. Pretty much everyone agrees that the first soil, the hard path, represents non-believers, and that the fourth soil, the good soil, represent people that have faith. However, the spiritual condition of the other two is debated. One thing we know, Jesus does not look favorably on any of the soils except the fourth one. Only the good soil is looked on favorably by Jesus. And the parable is explaining why the word is received in a variety of ways and what the obstacles are that prevent fruit bearing. Let's walk through it. First, the ones along the path. They hear the word, but the devil comes and takes the word away. They do not believe and are not saved. Not even the appearance of salvation. The lies of Satan steal the word away. There's a spiritual battle raging. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6:12. It is now, as it was in the beginning, the whisper in the ear. Did God really say that? Did God say that about my marriage? God say that about my relationships? God say that about my life and how I walk it? It's a twisting and a tearing away of the truth as the unregenerated heart rejects the good news of the kingdom. Second soil, the rocky soil, the ones on the rock, they hear the word, and it says they receive it with joy. They like what they hear, but they're only looking for a quick fix without submitting or committing. They don't dig deep. There's no firm foundation. They build on the sand. And though they may assent to the teaching for a little while, when that initial response dries out, their unbelief is revealed. If the goal is to be a fruitful follower of Jesus, they have failed. And as for what fell among the thorns, once again, they hear the word, like all the soils, but there's no change. They don't allow the word to challenge their lifestyle or speak into their priorities. They simply go on their way and they love their world or the things of their world as if some kind of divided loyalty is acceptable before a holy God. The thorny ground seems to be the object of John's warning, 1 John 2:15 and 16. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The thorny ground shows a battle against syncretism. That's where you have Jesus among other gods. That kind of an attitude. In this case, the hearer is blending their love of the world with what they hear from Jesus. It's like a bad plant hybrid. It produces no fruit. It's incapable. But finally, verse 15. Good dirt. They heard the word. And they listened. They're holding fast, digging deep, firmly rooted like a tree planted by the water, and they bear fruit. And not some meager crop, but 100-fold as they bear good fruit with patience and perseverance. It's amazing. I think we see 3 outcomes here in the good dirt. Number 1, they hold the word fast. Right? The Greek word here has the meaning of to take hold of it and never let it go. They cling to the Word of God, rest in the Word of God, desire the Word of God. Good dirt loves the good news. Second, good dirt holds the word in an honest and good heart. Honest. They hold fast to the word without hypocrisy, without mixed priorities. Hold the good news in a heart that is true to Christ. Good dirt has a good heart that comes from a good God. Number three, they bear fruit with patience. This is the outcome of an honest and good heart, or as Paul will put it, the pure and blameless, as Bob read for us, Philippians 1, 10 and 11, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The fruit of righteousness of the one who perseveres in true faith. They will see fruit because good dirt leads to good fruit in good time. Fruit is grown by those who listen and patiently follow. Now, I want to circle back to our first point today. For those of you know, I love circling back. It's been a long time. Feels good. Circling back to the first point. Listeners, follow Jesus as disciples and prioritize ministry. This is how good dirt gets to good fruit. It takes patience, endurance, a reliance on Jesus, being restored in hope and resting in His salvation, following Jesus as disciples and prioritizing ministry. And may I suggest, as a maturing disciple of Jesus, that you consider how you are prioritizing ministry. How are you prioritizing ministry with your time, with your effort, with your means? We are called to follow Jesus and proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. We should be right now either preparing to do so or in the act of doing so and participating in that proclamation. You are not responsible for preparing the soil, but you are commanded to spread the seed. You're not called to hold it back, but to give generously. This is part of lighting up the world, as we'll see in next week's passage. We must not hide the light. But maybe you're not yet a follower of Jesus. And you're listening to this today, and for the first time you realize that you're hungry for something that satisfies. You're thirsty for the water of life, and the first of the light is penetrating your darkness. To you I say what Jesus said, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Let me echo the words of Jesus. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would open our ears to listen, that you would open our eyes to see, that you'd open our minds to be transformed, that you'd open our hearts to love you and believe and be saved. In your name we pray, amen.